This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, and your old fuddy daddy buddy Tim Michaels rocking your world. It's a radioactive Saturday, January 3rd, 1959. Danny Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. Engineer Joe and his Rocket Club buddy, W9UXZ Quibble, about the new Ruski rocket launch and its winter vacation treasure hunt.
The treasure would be?
Oh, it's a good treasure this time, but I can't lay it on you yet there, Big Danny.
You mean like the Grody Paper Pumpkin Prize last November?
Wow, hip talk from the news guy. That was not Grody, it was Art. Danny's 6 o'clock news is brought to you by, man, does that sound square, but if Carl Kasperson can do it, so can I. Superior Vocational School with classes now forming in shop, homemaking, electronics, and what cool Cal needs, driver's training. Superior Votech at 805 Belknap. It's all yours, DA.
Russia blasts the first artificial planet to the sun. Castro struggles to regain order in Cuba. And local museum features very old Bibles. We begin our world report from Russia.
This is Harrison Salisbury in Moscow. A new Soviet cosmic rocket will hurtle past the moon and become the first satellite of the sun. That's what we're hearing today on Moscow Radio. The broadcast that the rocket is expected to go into orbit around the sun came as it soared more than half the distance to the moon, far beyond the height ever reached before by a man-made object. Jubilant Russians are calling the new rocket Lunik. Students marched the streets here in celebration and some fired flares. The radio kept eager Soviet citizens well informed of the Lunik's progress, furnishing details of its travel. The moon is now about 219,000 miles from Mother Earth, the sun 93 million miles away. At the time when U.S. scientists thought an American moonshot would pass the moon and head toward the sun, they said the rocket probably would be burned up in the sun. The Soviet announcement indicated otherwise. The Kremlin expects its rocket to survive the fierce heat around the center of the solar system. The Soviet government has said it will prepare to put men on the moon in a future expedition. From there, flights farther into space can be launched. A top Soviet scientist, Director Dmitry Martinov of the Sternberg State Astronomical Institute, considers the Lunik a true last rehearsal for the real cosmic journey, a stage toward interplanetary journeys has been achieved. The Red Rocket to the sun has already gone farther than the best of four unsuccessful U.S. attempts to reach the moon. The 85-pound U.S. Air Force moon probe Pioneer 1 soared 71,000 miles before errors of launching angle and propulsion caused it to fall back to Earth. The Russians have long talked about setting up space stations around the Earth as the launching point for travel farther into the solar system. The weight of their moon rocket indicates that they can now send up a vehicle large enough to carry a man. They describe the space device as a multi-stage rocket with a Soviet flag and the legend USSR January 1959 on the nose. Without specifying where it took off, the rocket reportedly flashed eastward across the Soviet Union, climbed above the Hawaiian Islands, and is moving away from our planet over the Pacific. In Moscow, this is Edison Salisbury, AP.
This is Alton Blakesley, Associated Press science reporter. Russia's hammer and sickle-decorated rocket rushed toward the moon today, leaving in its trail another major challenge for the United States in the battle of space prestige. A congressional demand for more American moonshots came shortly before the Russians reported their Lunik rocket had streaked farther into space than any man-made object. The Soviet Union predicted the rocket would reach the moon by 7 a.m. Monday, Moscow time. Even before the Soviet announcement of the launching, the House Space Committee urged two more attempts to hit the moon. A new try by the Army already has been set, possibly early next month. The Russian rocket is expected to add urgency to the committee's proposal. Senate Democratic leader Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas, for example, when asked for comment on the Russian moon probe, said, quote, "I have felt for some time that we are not going far enough, fast enough. As weeks and months go by, we realize it more and more." In Washington, this is Alton Blakesley.
This is Frederick Saunders in London. Americans talk too much. Even their satellites talk. The Russians don't say anything until they get there. That quote from a Swedish night watchman's reaction to news of the moon-bound Lunik rocket. The closer the 1.5-ton Soviet rocket approached the moon today, the greater is the praise for the Soviet Union building from communists and non-communists around the world. With the rocket more than halfway along Celestial Highway Number 1 to the moon, scientists and commentators see little chance of its going astray. There is almost complete agreement that the rocket will reach the area of the moon tonight, just as the Russians said it will. A few in Western European capitals began to wonder how soon men would go into space. Moscow radio announced preparations to equip an expedition to the moon that would establish an observatory and a base there for a future space flight. The anti-communist Vienna newspaper, Courier, was far ahead of the rocket and said in a banner headline today, "Soviets reach the moon." In London, this is Frederick Saunders.
Thousands of bearded guerrillas marched into Havana today, ahead of the imminent arrival of rebel leader Fidel Castro. There are wild victory celebrations in the streets. Streams of men, women, and children began joyful demonstrations shouting, "Long live Fidel Castro!" Jubilation swept the 1.2 million residents of Havana with a triumphal appearance not far off for the 32-year-old Castro, who drove dictator Fulgencio Batista into exile New Year's Day. The first task facing the new regime is to restore order and to end a general revolutionary strike that has paralyzed this big resort capital and created a growing food shortage. Radio stations broadcast new warnings that anyone caught looting or stirring up disorder would be dealt with severely. Castro's forces are firmly in control of the whole island, but they still face the prospect of cleaning up diehard remnants of the Batista regime hiding out in Havana. General Eulogio Cantillo, chief of the armed forces under the short-lived military junta that took over after Batista fled to the Dominican Republic, was arrested. Castro accused Cantillo of betraying him after not making good on a deal to hand over Batista and his top aides, along with the reins of the Cuban government. The rebels came out of the hills last night and assumed control of all army garrisons, government buildings, and police stations in the westernmost Pinar del Rio province. In Cuba, this is Gilman Halstead, AP.
This is Jacques Mornay in Juneau. It was called Seward's Folly in 1867. It's known as the 49th state today. It's your new sister among the states, the biggest of them all. The place is Alaska. This Phoenix City is the capital of the first admitted to the Union since New Mexico and Arizona entered in 1912. It sits at the foot of Mount Roberts and Mount Juneau, the two peaks that are now snow-covered 8 months of the year. Alaska's 586,400 square miles span four time zones and is within sight of Soviet Siberia. It has been a land of red mist and legend since its discovery by Russian explorers in 1741. Secretary of State William Seward engineered purchase from Tsarist Russia 91 years ago. The price the U.S. paid Russia, $7.2 million. Critics called it folly. Alaska was regarded as an ice-locked hunk of land at the top of the world. It was too remote to reach, too cold to live in, too wild to civilize. But Alaska's 210,000 residents have proved those estimates wrong. Militarily, Alaska has become America's guardian of the North. Under construction is a missile detection center south of Fairbanks. From Alaska has come billions of dollars worth of gold, salmon, and timber. Now oil companies are investigating millions into what apparently will become a major petroleum industry here. The new Alaskan state government began functioning today under direction of 41-year-old Democrat Governor William Egan. In Juneau, this is Jacques Mornay, Associated Press.
Major and minor league baseball clubs today are considering recalling their players from strife-ridden Cuba. Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick has given the green light to such action. The Cuban Winter League has been shut down during the revolution. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Tim Michaels has these words from the Superior Vocational School.
It's time for night school. Registration begins Monday, January 5th, Tuesday, January 6th, and Wednesday, January 7th. Hours of registration, 7 to 9 p.m., and during school hours, daily. Classes now forming, commercial classes, shop courses, homemaking classes, electronics, driver training. Classes begin Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 to 8 and 8 to 9. Registration fee, $2. That's Superior Vocational School at 805 Belknap Superior. Denny?
Twin Ports firms prepare for the opening of the St. Lawrence Seaway this spring. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Following an announcement yesterday by Peavey and Company of plans for dredging out the slips around their two elevators to accommodate the expected ocean-going vessels, other Twin Ports elevator operators say they will do the same thing. Osborne McMillan Elevator Chief Engineer Clifford Johnson has two elevators in Superior undergoing expansion. He says, quote, "We will have to dredge out our slips to a depth of 27 feet if we're going to take these big ships," unquote. Archer Daniels Midland Company Manager O.E. Fisher operate the Great Northern Elevators in Superior. Fisher says, quote, "Naturally, we are planning on dredging our slips, providing we find that the future type of ships require it," end quote. Superior's Farmer Union Grain Elevator Manager Russell Johnson says, "We will be prepared for the deep draft loading when the time comes. The plans for dredging out the slips around the FU elevator are being set up in our 1959 plans," unquote. Looks like everyone is spending money and looking forward to a new age when the Seaway opens.
All right, thanks, Mike. Launching an attack on behalf of a new group of physically underprivileged persons in this community, the Greater Victories March of Dimes has begun in Douglas County. Campaign Director Robert Downs says the appeal will continue through the month with the traditional Mother's March climaxing the 1959 campaign. Downs says, quote, "In 1959, the March of Dimes must meet the big challenge of the three faces of crippling, polio, arthritis, and birth defects. Just as the National Foundation came up with the Salk vaccine, so too we hope to move ahead toward greater victories in arthritis and birth defects. Polio remains one of our targets because there are many victims of that disease still needing help. The March of Dimes set out in 1938 to find a preventative for paralytic polio. That is now a fact, and millions of Americans have been vaccinated. Now we turn our efforts to new and wider fields," end quote. During this month, the hobby cases at the Douglas County Historical Museum will display Bibles, old and new. Some from foreign countries are being exhibited by the 7th grade Sunday school class at Central Methodist Congregational Church under the leadership of Mrs. Arthur Cirilli. Among the Bibles is a small old volume written in Norwegian, one from Sweden, and two Greek versions. There is a Jewish Torah in the display also. It contains the five books of Moses. Other old Bibles are a copy of the Psalms carried through the Civil War, another of Psalms given to the late Henry Butler and published in 1762, a New Testament such as was given to every soldier in World War II has its place in the display. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
You get a killer amen there, Denny Anderson. Hey, the weather ball is a bite for this Saturday, January 3rd, 1959. Starry skies tonight with a Merc reading of 20 below zero, but Mr. Sunshine will show his face tomorrow for a high of a solid 5. Super Murgatroyd news from the DA. Lunix and bearded soldiers are far out, but after a newscast, cats and kittens, it just makes me want to shout. All right, guys, let me hear a big whale. A whale. Hear the Isley Brothers and shout part 1 and 2 on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Whale. You know you make me want to shout. Kick my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my head back and shout. Come on now.
Mama! Hot Wax from the Isley Brothers do Little Shoutin' Part 1 and 2 on Kickin' KUWS. It's Part 1 and 2 because it doesn't fit on one side of a 45, so when Isley says, "Now wait a minute," that's when we DJs super flash our fast hands to put it on the flip side. And I am flippin' amazing. Hey, cool dudes, Kappas Erickson has a flipping amazing deal for you. A 1959 Plymouth Demonstrator Model Belvedere V8, four-door, metallic green and white. This Chariot cooks with power steering, power brakes, power seats, padded dash, wheel covers, and white sidewalls. You won't blow all your bread either because it's only $27.56. Kappas Erickson will do you no wrong at 1318 Ogden Avenue in Superior.
Hey, Jerry.
You dialed in, Gunn, or are you still trying to figure out that there payphone?
Lame, man. Lame. Make me look bad.
No can do. You are beautiful, baby. Machine Gun Kelly is at the Fave booth at Chef's Restaurant with a scavenger hunt. Talk to me, man.
I want a bunch of junk. The first guy or doll to grab half a dozen of these wins something or other.
Lay it on me, baby.
Let me get my peepers on so I can eyeball this. One, a restaurant napkin. Twosies, a family recipe. Tray, a takeout menu from a Chinese restaurant. Four, a copy of the front page of the Telegram or Duluth Herald. Quince, a A bag full of as much trash as you can pick up. You can't take it from trash cans. Next, fortune cookie. Extra points if the word happy appears in the fortune. 7. A business card of a lawyer. Extra points if his first name is John. 8. A disposable toilet seat cover. That sounds grody. 9. A stranger's autograph. Extra points if his or her name is Jordan. And 10. At least 50 cents worth of money found on the floor.
Jordan? I mean, I get John, but who names their baby Jordan?
Right. I'll give triple points for that man and the toilet seat. Come and see me at Chef's on Tower Avenue. I'm the one jazzed up on coffee or washing the dishes to make some extra dough.
The scavenger hunt is on there, cats and kittens. And remember, be nice to the lawyers. We don't want to get sued for this.
Again.
Or destroy any property. We don't want the heat arresting us.
Again.
Talk to you later, alligator. Hey, let's chill, cats and kittens, with Lavender Blue and Sammy Turner on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Top record, Sammy Turner and Dilly Dilly, brand new on the 1959 Hit Parade. Burl Ives cut the disc, and so did Sammy Kaye and Dinah Shore, but I like this one best of all. When I am King Dilly Dilly, you'll be my queen.
The face of the Wisconsin legislature is changing. The Evening Telegram's Sybil Wade is here to tell us about it.
In the 30s, it used to be a progressive party majority, but no more.
That party pretty much died out in the 1948 election.
Then it was dominated by Republicans, but Gaylord Nelson's win in the last election means a Democratic governor. The 1959 session of the Wisconsin legislature convenes January 14th. It will find the Democrats with a majority in the assembly, the first time since 1933, only the second time in this century. The assembly has 55 Democrats, 44 Republicans, and one independent. The state Senate has 20 Republicans and 12 Democrats. Indications are that 1,500 bills will be introduced in the 1959 all-male membership session, the 74th of the state legislature. By the by, it's high time a sister lands in the legislature.
Besides the political makeup, other things have changed.
We remember when most of the representatives were farmers because they had time to meet during the winter, but no more. Lawyers make up 38%, farmers 26%. Other occupations include a banker, a factory worker, salesman, policeman, locomotive fireman, accountant, construction worker, funeral director, and labor union representative. Ages range from 27 to 74. The average age is 49. And finally, Denny, the 1955 legislature has 90 93 members who have had some college or university training. 55 hold degrees.
Superior Evening Telegram reporter Sybil Wade, thanks.
Maybe someday they'll have a DJ in the legislature, but only after they get a majority of women elected.
And the walls come tumbling down. Hey, Denny, did you ever hear the one about the guy sitting at home? Hears a knock on the door, opens up the door, and there's a snail sitting on his porch. Guy gets so upset, he stomps on the snail, kicks it across the street. A year later, the guy is sitting in his house again and hears a knock on the door, opens up the door. There's that same snail sitting there. The snail looks up at him and says, "What is your problem, man?"
I'm thinking.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah, right, yeah, whatever. Time for a KUWS Twin Spin.
It's from the mimes. How cool is that? Here's Santo and Johnny in Sleepwalk.
In the middle of a KUWS Twin Spin, and now Johnny and the Hurricanes in Red River Rock on Kickin' KUWS.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Love that sax, baby. That's Johnny and the Hurricanes in Red River Rock on the backside of a KUWS Mimes Twin Spin that kicked off with Sleepwalk by Sandu and Johnny.
Snappy number. Sounds a lot like Red River Valley.
What? That's why you do the news and I jog, baby.
We're fortunate to have experts on the telephone from an unnamed backyard in Superior about today's astonishing news that the Russians have launched a satellite that will not only pass the moon, but will orbit the sun. Good evening, Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio and Superior Amateur Association Rocket Club Co-President W9UXZ.
That's my amateur shortwave radio frequency identification. But you can call me Jerry or Jer. We're in a league with the Wisconsin Organization of Space Hobbyists, or WOOSH.
In fact, we are charter members of WOOSH and close friends with WOOSH President Setsu Gaffenbauer and the entire board of directors. They've consulted with us several times ever since the Sputnik incident set off a wave of public anxiety.
So you found a dark space where you believe you can see with the naked eye what are being called the taillights of Lunik?
Oh, he said naked.
Eyes are always naked.
Oh, no. Not mine. I wear glasses.
Can you see the satellite? It's supposed to be near the area of the moon in a couple of hours.
There it is. I see it with my closed eyes. Oh, no.
That's not it. That's Mars or some star.
I know Mars, and that's not Mars.
Well, we just got here. You can't simply look up and say, there it is. Things don't happen that way in the cosmos. There are billions times infinity of heavenly bodies, celestial delights that can easily look like the Soviet Lunik satellite lights.
I tell you, I see it. Now, believe me, or we'll have to settle this like men in an Indian leg wrestle.
You need careful calculations with instruments complex of which I have trained with Superior State Astronomy professors for nigh on to 2 years to use. Now, don't you see that you need aeronautic logarithmic calculations, man?
You do your calculations while I watch the taillights of Lunik. Space satellite hurling towards the center of our solar system. Soviet scientists not only have equipped the Lunik orb with radio transmission capabilities, which we ham operators hope to intercept, but it also has an artificial tail, like a comet's tail.
Dubbed taillights, it's designed to create a sodium cloud streaming out from the rear end of the speeding vehicle.
You said rear end? Right on the radio.
Well, this allows a visible cloud, which our Soviet colleagues say will make it visible, enabling it to be photographed. But said tail will not, I repeat, not be visible with the naked eye from Earth.
There you go, said with that naked stuff again.
I believe I said it first.
I've had my mouth washed out with rocks, liquid soap for that, many, many years ago. Still, I'll never forget the lesson it taught me.
For crying out loud, Jer.
Well, I was then, too.
According to my calculations, carefully computed by special astrophysical formulas, the speeding artificial red moon should be right there. Huh. What do you know about that? I can see it.
I told you so.
But you're not supposed to see it. I don't understand.
It's more than a sodium vapor cloud, but it's also the angle of the satellite, which is striking the satellite at just the right angle that allows us to see in this dark backyard.
Yeah, and you're looking at something with your bare naked eyeballs. What do you know about that? Huh. Well, my apologies, dear.
Except that I still prefer to settle things the old-fashioned way in Indian leg wrestle.
Thank you, Engineer Joe and Superior Amateur Association Rocket Club Co-President W9UXZ.
Man, after hearing Rear End and Naked, I want to go back to the Passion Pit and play some backseat bingo. One more killer hot plate to spin, cats and kittens. Hang on for the platter's wettest and smoke ends into your naked eyes on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Hey. Ask me how I knew my true love was true. Oh, 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 oh.
life cannot be denied. One day, said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when love's on fire, you must stay alive. Smoke gets in your eyes. So I can them and I gave them to think they could die.
Platter's latest candidate for a slow spotlight dance at the hop, and Smoke Gets in Your Eyes on Cuddly KUWS. Now, back corner booth next to the payphone at Chef's and Machine Gun Kelly. Smoke got in your eyes too, huh? How goes a scavenger hunt there, cuz?
So, man. I got piles of restaurant napkins and front pages and Chinese takeout menus and stuff, and the waitress, Robin, she's a blast. But the manager's frosted, and so are a few attorney types who want to sue me or something for harassment.
Oh, that's a bite. At least you're not getting busted.
Oh, they're not going to sue me. They know I work at a radio station, so I'm broke. I also told them I have cooties.
But otherwise, it was a kick?
It was if you like being threatened by managers who want their toilet seat covers back and lawyers and then have these kids breathing down my neck for a prize.
Oh, some creep got gunned.
I got the phone back, man. I gave everyone my autograph and bought banana splits for the whole place, so I'm cool.
That must have tapped you, man.
My bread basket is empty. I think I better agitate some gravel because the manager's calling the heat on me. Hey, Mr. Callahan, I'll pay you back later. Gotta go, cuz.
Later, Gator. Coming on the Boob Troop tonight, it's Perry Mason at 6:30, Sugarfoot at 7:30, then Have Gun Will Travel, followed by Gunsmoke. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and they don't put us lunatics on the next lunatic out of here. For Denny Anderson and the gang, this is Tim Michaels, still rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959. An original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Paul Guggenheimer, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Hey, Denny, did you ever hear the one about the grasshopper? Walks into a bar, sits at the bar, bartender says, "What do you have?" And the grasshopper says, "I'd like to order a drink." And the bartender says, "You know, we have a drink named after you." And the grasshopper says, "You got a drink named Frank?" Oh, come on.
No, you're quiet.
Yeah, well, don't make me pull out the claw. I've been practicing my veal throw. Yeah, well, you're about to be Mr. Turnbuckle Buster. Oh, hell. I got to go to work, guys. All right.
I got a newscast to do.
You go ahead. I'm going to go bear hunting with a switch.